everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food here on September 9th, 2014, a nice, cool September day. And I'm going to bring on my next guest, Miyoko Shinner. How are you today, Miyoko?
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
Thank you so much. You must be so busy.
I am. And the last time I saw you was when you were delivering that wonderful performance down in San Jose, that duo,
Swinging Gourmets.
The Swinging Gourmets.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
Thank you for coming to that. You know, while we're going down memory lane here, I wanted to mention a couple of things. I already mentioned this in the first part of the show, but 2 years ago I had you on the program. We talked about your wonderful new book at the time, Artisan Vegan Cheese. And that was 2 years ago. It was September 11, 2012. And I also had Tanya.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, just like 2 years ago, exactly. The timing is kind of crazy.
I couldn't remember when it was exactly. Okay.
And, I looked at it because I wanted to refresh my mind and see what we spoke about and call you on a few things if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But Talia Furman was also on that show. And it's like the only time in 5.5 years I've been doing this program, I had the same two people on the same day twice in a row.
I remember that. And so when I saw the post this morning, I thought, oh, she's posting something from 2 years ago. I thought maybe my eyes were deceiving me, but I guess not.
No,
okay,
I didn't remember it until now. And I don't know what it all means, but I don't believe in coincidences. And I'm just enjoying it.
There must be some deep meaning to that, anyway.
Yes, deep meaning. The other thing I wanted to mention, we've talked before about your history in the vegan world, and you've really been a trendsetter starting things before anyone else was doing them. And I remember Now and Then, the restaurant in San Francisco. And my brother was just telling me that he has a crayon picture that he drew while sitting in your restaurant. I guess you had paper and crayons as tablecloth.
We did. We had it. We always had a table. There was a tablecloth, and there was a piece of butcher paper that covered the table over the tablecloth. And we always had crayons, and people could draw pictures while they were waiting or whatever. And sometimes you would see the most amazing artwork on the butcher paper, and we would hang it up and do like a little, butcher paper art show in the restaurant.
Well, my brother hung his up in his bedroom, and it's there till this day.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
But, I think all of that, it's important tying together art and food and beauty.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
So the last time we talked, you had come out with this wonderful book, and you were showing all of us how to make our own cheese. We talked a little bit about manufacturing the cheese, and here you are 2 years later, and it's happening.
It really is happening. And 2 years ago when I did speak to you, I think, people were saying, well, why did you write a book instead of just starting another company? And because I'd had companies in the past and run my own businesses in the past, I just wasn't, thrilled. The idea of starting a new company just wasn't quite as appealing. So I didn't really picture it myself doing what I'm doing right now. But enough people kept asking me, why don't you just make cheese? I mean, I love your book, but I don't want to go through the hassle. Mm-hmm. I'm just never going to make anything in it. I'd rather just buy it.
Mm-hmm. You really had to do it.
Yes.
No regrets yet, right? Everybody's so excited about this product.
No regrets. No, absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited about it.
Yeah, I tell people, I've been saying this for years, people are probably tired on the show of me saying it, but I'm always saying, find your kitchen, get into your kitchen, make your food. I know that you make most things by scratch, and I think for the most part, our basic foods, we should. Cheese is a little complicated.
That's right. It is. It does take, and that's why most people don't make, there are cheese making classes in the dairy world all over, but most people don't embark down, on that path because it's just very detailed. It's a real commitment. And as I mentioned before, patience is the most important ingredient in any kind of process that involves culturing or fermentation or aging, So it takes a while.
Yeah, so culturing and fermentation, this is the part that gives these cheeses, all cheeses, their unique flavor and tang and body. But we're dealing with microscopic little living things, and they can either go your way or another way. And you were talking about this the first time, finding, controlling the temperature and controlling everything you need to make a consistent and safe product.
That's right. And so that's something we had to explore really, really deeply and thoroughly before we started this company. Because, you know, we do want to grow. We don't want to just be, you know, selling at farmers markets. We want to be a global company eventually. And so we wanted to be, we wanted to make sure that we were producing something that was safe. And so we actually hired a couple of cheese consultants who have been absolutely fabulous, cheese consultants to the dairy industry, who helped us really set those parameters and figure out how to, you know, safe practices. And we spent a lot of time developing what's called a HACCP plan, which stands for Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points. So we would have all of our controls in place. So not just temperature, but measuring the pH and the water activity and all of this stuff, so we can be sure that we are producing a safe product and that it's a consistent product. So we're not just winging it each time, you know, which is wonderful. It can be very artisanal, you know, kind of winging it in your own kitchen. And as long as you're, you know, your surfaces are clean and all of that, you can generally have a safe product. But every single time, your cheese is going to come out a little bit different because of all, you know, lack of these controls. So when you, so when you mass produce, you need to have that in place.
I have some property in Costa Rica. It's just a jungle. I haven't done anything with it. But when I go and visit, I visit friends and see a variety of different things. And one of my French friends, he was showing me someone who was making cheese, and we went to this person's house, and it just scared me. He just had racks and racks of these cheeses sitting out in the open air inside an open room, and I thought, I'm glad I'm not eating or wanting to eat these cheeses. I'm sure they're fine, but there was no control there, no sanitary control, no temperature control. It was, whoa, out of control.
But, you know, it's interesting because that's really how man's been making cheese for thousands of years.
Yes.
Even in Europe today, you know, there are people, and I'm not a French speaker, I'm trying to remember the proper, there's a proper French term for the person who ages the cheeses. And so they typically, you know, they often might have a natural cave, and their sole job, they don't actually make cheese, all they do is age it, and they make sure that the you know, but they're doing it in caves, and that's how people have been doing it for many, many, many eons. So it's not, if you think about the kind of bacteria that's in cheese or any kind of fermented product, you know, the idea of having something that's cultured where the pH is low enough, and you have a low enough water activity, those are going to be things that are going to prevent the wrong stuff from growing. So it's really controlling all of that. So there are some wonderful things that are growing in all fermented foods, from yogurt to kimchi to pickles, that are going to prevent the bad pathogens from growing.
Right, in different areas, when we ferment things, it takes the bacteria that's in the area. So
that's right.
Now, you're in a controlled facility, and maybe that won't be as affected with the environment outside.
But you know, I think there's always going to be airborne bacteria and airborne yeast that are going to get onto things. But we do have, you know, but we're not, you know, sterilizing the air or anything, but we do have a very, very clean facility, and visitors will be able to see it when we open up our retail shop sometime next year. We have these huge, beautiful picture windows that look into both the production facility where we're making the cheese, as well as the aging room. We have the state-of-the-art aging room where we'll have up to 10,000 units of cheese on racks aging. And so you'll be able to look into it and see all these beautiful rounds of cheese aging in there. You will be able to see it, and I think people will be impressed how, you know, how clean and sanitary our facility is, because we've really taken all precautions to do that. But despite that, there's still air, and you know, and anytime you have any kind of air, there's going to be some form of bacteria and yeast. So you can't remove all of that. So some of that will be there.
And it's good.
Yeah, that's
good,
right.
Thing. Now, let's talk about the cheese. So I'm on your Miyoko's Kitchen website looking at some of these beautiful pictures, and I actually got my cheeses today, so I got to sample a number of them. For people out there Americans especially who aren't that sophisticated when it comes to cheese and are mostly American cheese slice kind of people, they may not be aware of some of the traditions that are used with cheeses, and a number of your products kind of go along with some traditional ways of enhancing the cheese flavor or flavoring the cheese or kind of, quote, packaging the cheese. I thought we might talk about some
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
So you have the Mount Vesuvius Black Ash,
yes.
which is stunning. Just to look at is stunning. But it's something, this using an ash on the outside of a cheese is something that's been done for a long time.
It has. It's been done for centuries in Europe. And there are some American cheese makers, such as Cowgirl Creamery, that feature ash as part of the, you know, as one of the ingredients in the cheese. So there are other, many, many other companies doing it. Another treatment of using ash is they'll often use ash because it makes the surface more alkaline, and it helps certain molds such as Penicillium candidum, which is the white mold on Camembert and Brie, helps that to grow better. So a lot of your Camemberts and Bries will have that sprinkled on the surface beforehand. So that's been it's just natural vegetable ash, or it can be from from wood or vegetable matter, some sort of green matter that gets turned into a carbon state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very traditional ingredient that's been used for centuries.
Well, some people also like to. Yeah. Well, some people think they should also take in a little charcoal every day because it cleans the body. So it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, apparently
it
pulls toxins out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I understand. Activated, charcoal or carbon. People do take that in water just to pull the toxins out of the body. So
right, but yeah. it just has a lovely contrast with the creamy whiteness of the cheese. Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other one I tried was the Country Style Herbe de Provence, and I have my own personal love affair with the Provence region. I lived in the Provence for 4 years. I love the Herbe de Provence, and this is another traditional way to prepare cheese.
It is, yes. I've really borrowed from tradition, from mostly European traditions. And then but used vegan ingredients to produce cheeses that are somewhat reminiscent of really very traditional and artisanal cheeses.
And, in some ways I understand how we want to make products that are like the products that we've been familiar with. On the other hand, I think that all of these lovely vegan foods that have come along over the years are unique and individual and should stand on their own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people might whine and say, why do you want to have cheese? It tastes just like cheese. Why don't you eat cheese?
Right.
And they say that about meat analogs, too. And, all of that is just nonsense.
We don't necessarily become vegan because we don't, it's not because we hated meat or cheese. It's because we were trying to
protect
animals. We did it for another reason, but didn't mean that we didn't like those flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any problem with enjoying reliving those flavors. I mean, it's not just, is it really cheese or is it that sensation of something that's fatty and rich and creamy
mm-hmm.
that you can have with your wine on a Friday night when you're trying
mm-hmm.
to unwind or something? I think there is an occasion for all of these things. I myself don't eat my cheese on a daily basis because I'm more of a kind of a beans and rice and veggie kind of gal. But I certainly want to have sort of an elegant spread of cheeses, for special occasions and be able to enjoy that without harming my body or the environment or animals.
Yeah, well, even when I lived in France and the few times that I would go to one of these outrageously expensive, incredible restaurants, and fortunately I was always a guest because I couldn't afford to go to them. But when you would come to the cheese course, which I wouldn't get, they would slice you very small taste of a variety of different cheeses. You'd never really have a half a pound of cheese.
It was no.
for that rich, luxurious, lovely flavor.
That's really what it is. It's that, it's just enjoying a bit of luxury, you know. That's really what it's for, and that's sort of the meaning of it. And you know, I definitely have an interest in coming out with a line of more everyday cheeses, you know, your Swiss and your cheddar and the kind of stuff that you put on a pizza, the mozzarella or whatever, you know, grilled cheese sandwich. But I really wanted to set the bar high when we rolled out our product and come out with just a unique line of just stellar artisanal products that would show people, not just vegans, but
everybody.
Everybody.
These are cheeses.
You can do this, and you can do this with plants.
Yeah, there's only real ingredients in your cheeses.
Thank you for noticing.
There's only real ingredients.
Yes.
There's no gums
That's
or anything.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's no. I mean, you know, if you look at a lot of the plant-based or vegan cheeses on the market, the first ingredient in a lot of them is oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second ingredient is some sort of starch. And so you're paying whatever, you know, people say, oh, our cheeses are expensive because they're $10 to $12 for one round. But, you know, when you go out and buy one of these vegan cheeses, you're paying $4.99 for oil and starch and gums.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not paying for real food. You're paying for...
And not only are these foods real, but they're mostly organic.
Yes, that's correct. We are certified organic. All of our products except for the ash. The ash is made from organic cashews as well, but that product is not certified organic because the ash can't be. So, but everything else is.
Beautiful. Okay, I had two more products, and one of them is the Fresh Loire Valley in a fig leaf. And what a beautiful thing. And something I love about nature is how it gives us everything we need. I love the foods that come packaged. For example, I like to travel with a papaya. It's just easy, and all you have to do is slice it open, and there it is. It's already packaged. A banana is packaged. You don't need to wrap it and wrap it and wrap it and wrap it. And then we have these beautiful leaves, like fig leaves, perfectly to wrap a cheese, and that's another tradition.
It is another tradition, and I love fig leaves. People don't usually, you know, in this country, think about using fig leaves for culinary purposes. They often use grape leaves, but not fig leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But fig leaves are extremely aromatic and flavorful, and they impart this sort of sweet, floral, perfumey essence to the cheese that is just incomparable.
Yeah, I love that. I noticed that right away, that fruity sweetness mixed in with the tang. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Now, can you eat the fig leaf?
You can. And it's not just a plain raw fig leaf. It's one that's been brined in a brine made out of wine. And, of course, it's an organic wine that we, organic vegan wine that we got from Northern California as well.
Well, you're in the right place to do this because
we are. Yeah,
that's where all the good organic plants are growing. And then the last one that I tried was the cheddar. Let's see, I'm looking for the actual name.
Is it the Aged English Sharp Farmhouse?
It was the Aged English Sharp Farmhouse. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't really use words like cheddar. Or we can't even say cheese, just so you know. We're not supposed to because they are called standards of identity. And they can only be used for products made out of dairy milk. So either, you know, goat's milk or cow's milk, but not from cashew milk.
Wow.
So we have had to come up with our own name to describe these beautiful products, and that is cultured nut product. So next time you smile for the camera, say cultured nut product.
Well, I will. Cultured nut product. But you know what?
Yeah.
We need to work on getting the cheese to be a little more, open-minded. You know, just like we're fighting for rights for individuals, for freedoms, I think cheese needs to be a broader term.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just like soy milk at one time, they had the same battle, and they eventually won. So it's very, very possible that eventually we will be able to call our product cheese. But right now, you know, everybody knows we're talking about a cheese alternative product. We just, you know, try to avoid using that word in the media.
Wow.
When we're, you know, we're fine for other people to let other people call it cheese. We just can't do it ourselves.
So
kind
the
of funny.
But the ones that I've seen in the store, the ones made with all the artificial ingredients that don't taste very good, they all say cheese on them, soy cheese, or they say cheese alternative. Is that what they say?
Yeah, you know, it's a California law ruling actually for manufacturers in California, and there are lots of companies that just aren't on the radar. California just doesn't have the bandwidth to go out and shut down every manufacturer that uses the word cheese on their packaging.
Mm.
But we just wanted to play it safe. We just didn't want to take that risk, so we didn't.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that aged English sharp farmhouse nut milk loveliness. And it has a drier, firmer texture than the other cheeses that I tried, and it had that that drierness consistency that you get in those other things that we don't want to talk about anymore.
That's right. That was what I strived for. We wanted to have a cultured nut product that really was reminiscent of an aged English sharp cheddar. Because nothing like that exists on the market.
Right.
So without using the word cheddar, we came up with aged English sharp farmhouse, which, you know, without using the word cheddar, you knew immediately what we were trying to do, which tells me that, hey, we kind of did okay there.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is aged. That's one of the rounds that gets aged for, I can't tell you exactly how long, because that's proprietary. But anyway, it gets aged for weeks and weeks and weeks in our aging room. And so if you come and visit, you'll be able to see them.
Oh, yes, I will, definitely. Yeah. And I was planning on it, but my schedule got all crazy this month. You have a number of directions to go in now. I know you've got a lot on your plate right now, and you're just getting started. But you mentioned making some of the more everyday cheeses. But also, there are lots of cheeses that are aged for a very, very, very long time. And that adds to the expense and the cost, of course, but is there a plan to do that? I mean, what's the longest you've ever aged a cheese yourself?
Over a year.
And what was it like?
It was very, very hard, like a Parmesan.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gets stronger in flavor, and I have, you can grate it on a microplane. It's so fine. It's sort of granular and, you know, hard and... So there's a lot we can do, but, you know, having to age cheese for a year takes up a lot of space.
Yep.
So it's not real estate that we have right now. So we're, you know, but that is definitely an interest that I have somewhere down the line. I would love to do that. Another thing that we want to roll out in spring of next year is a bloomy rind cultured nut product. If some of you listeners may not know what a bloomy rind cheese is, but those are the cheeses that have that white mold on the outside like Camembert and Brie. And so we have one that's phenomenal, and it's, you know, it gets older, the flavor gets stronger and gooier in the middle. And our cheese consultants are the ones that we hired. These are their words. They tasted it and they said, "I would buy this. This is just like Brie."
Wow.
So that was, to me, the highest compliment.
Yeah.
So we want to roll that one out. That one's a little finickier than what we're doing right now.
I'm just
so
curious what the consultants thought about what you were doing.
I think they thought we were crazy initially,
yeah.
And now they love us, and we love them. They're phenomenal. And I predict they're going to be vegan because they're really interested in it.
Oh,
they've had
yeah.
many meals with us
mm-hmm.
and ask all these questions about veganism, and they're just so interested.
Wow.
And they've done so much to help promote our product as well, too, to omnivores. Like when they go speaking, they served our cheese to a big group of people at a food festival. And the response was phenomenal. People didn't believe it was vegan.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the day when a movie comes out and the vegan Miyoko's vegan cheese wins over the French vegan cheese, just like what was that movie with the California wines versus the French wines?
Oh yes, that was Stag's Leap, I believe, years ago. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we have a minute left, Miyoko. Where can people get your cheese? They're probably salivating now after we've spoken about them, so.
Well, you can go to miyokoskitchen.com, www.miyokoskitchen.com, and you can order online right now. We're taking pre-orders, and shipments will start on September 22nd. We are also going to be in stores. We're just setting up distribution with various distributors throughout the country, so you will begin to see it in stores over the next few months. That's going to take some time, so the surest way to get it right now is to go to our website. And
okay.
That once again is miyokoskitchen.com.
And these cheeses, when they get to the stores, will likely be in the cheese section, right? Not in a...
No, we're going to have them in the alternative cheese
section
along with all the others.
Okay.
And that's where we want to be. That's, you know, because that's where the vegans go. And
mm-hmm.
we're right now, we want to promote it, first of all, to our core audience, the people that have supported us and bought my books and so on, and who come out to hear me talk, you know, various venues around the country. And those are the people we want to satisfy first.
That's
and then
nice.
We'll spread our wings and get out to everybody else.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for talking to me today, Miyoko. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you're doing this. Time marches on, and all good things are happening.
Well, I'll talk to you maybe another 2 years, Karen.
No, I'm going to come into your facility
okay,
sooner than
great.
That.
I was talking about on your radio show.
Yes,
you'll have
absolutely.
To schedule us again with Talia Furman.
Absolutely.
So.
September
anyway.
In 2 years.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on your show, Karen.
You're welcome, and thanks for the cheese. Oh, the,
okay,
nut,
all right.
The nut product, yes.
The nut culture
the
nut product.
Culture
okay.
Nut product.
All right. All right. Bye-bye from
bye.
One nut to another. Bye.
Oh, bye. Okay, that was Miyoko Shinner. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Join me at responsibilityandliving.com and have a delicious week.